and 7 are the teachings of Jesus. Matthew is a very systematic author. In chapter 5, 6 and 7, he gives what we famously call the Sermon on the Mount. And he gives us the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 8, 9 and 10, he gives the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. A whole cluster of them. Now there are some others that are there towards the end here and there. But a whole cluster of miracles is found in chapter 8, 9 and 10. And then in chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, chapter 18, he gives the reactions to both Jesus' teaching and Jesus' miracles. So the middle section is very systematically organized by Matthew. We have from chapter 5 to 7, the words of Jesus. Then we have from chapter 8 right on to chapter 8, 9 and 10. Chapter 8 to chapter 10, we have the works of Jesus. And then in the last section of the middle part, from chapter 11 right on to chapter through up to the end of chapter 18, we have the reactions to Jesus' ministry. So we have in the first section what Jesus said. In the second section, what Jesus did. And in the third section, the results of what he said and what he did. We have in the first section the words he spoke, the second section, the works he did, the third section, what the people acted as they heard it. First section, he taught. Second section, he wrought. Third section, the people, what the people thought. So it's very systematically organized. And as we consider the first major section, subsection of the second division, from chapter 5 to chapter 7, there are basically 10 principles. Right? We don't have time to go through all the 10. There are 10 principles there. And that's where you can go back and look for them. There are 10 major principles. In the second section, there are 10 major miracles. In the third section, there are 10 major reactions. So it is a series of 10, 10, 10 organized into the Gospel of Matthew. What we want to focus on in chapter 5 to 7 to show forth that Jesus, there is a concentration on what he said. Look at chapter 5 verse 2. It says, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So there was a supernatural anointing on his life. Just open and then outflow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the conclusion was only expressed in chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it was, so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was a difference in his teaching. And what we want to focus on in chapter, the first subsection of the second division, there are three major divisions, the introduction, the middle section and the final section of Matthew. The first subsection, his teachings, is why his teachings are different. We see here that it concludes by saying that the people were astonished, for he does not teach as a scribe. He was different. Why was he different? That's what we want to focus on. In chapter 5, every time he has said a principle, he states the purpose of that principle. Our focus here in chapter 5, verse 18. For assuredly I say to you. Then in verse 20. For I say to you, Jesus said. Verse 22. But I say to you. Verse 26. Assuredly I say to you. But I say to you. And this goes on throughout chapter 5. Where Jesus focuses saying, this is what you hear, but this is what I say. This is what you hear, but this is what I say. This is what you hear, but this is what I say. The first difference between His teachings and all the other teachings that they have heard is that Jesus' teachings include everything that they have ever heard. But it went deeper and further. See here, Jesus said in chapter 5 verse 20, for I say that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he includes everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scribes were saying, and he covers it in what he's saying as far as righteousness and the right things are concerned. He covers it, but he brings it further. Then as far as the law is concerned, in verse 18 and 19, he says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus Christ focuses first on the fact that what he's saying doesn't contradict the law, but what he says fulfills the law. He has come to fulfill the law. So where does Jesus start his teaching? You notice, first of all, before he does anything, he imparts a blessing to the people. They are famously called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He starts by pronouncing a blessing on those who are ready for Him. Notice all the conditions of those blessings in verse 3. Poor in spirit, mourn, meek, hunger and thirst, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted. These are people who were broken. They were like the mountains who were brought low. They were like valleys waiting to be filled. And Jesus is talking about these who are ready to receive Him. That's an important point that He's making here. But the whole focus of chapter 5 is that Jesus deals with the heart, while all the other teachings of the scribes deal with the outward man. Jesus goes further than any commandment. Example here, in verse 21 he says, you heard that a person should not murder. He says, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But Jesus in verse 22 says, you should not even be angry. He says, all anger in the end, all murder in the end proceeds from anger. So Jesus says in verse 22, you should not even be angry. And then Jesus continue by saying verse 27, you have heard of old, it was said you shall not commit adultery. But verse 28, Jesus said you should not even lust with your eyes or your imagination. Then in verse 33, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely. In other words, you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But verse 34, Jesus says, you shall not even swear, let your word be as it is. You don't even have to swear. You mean what you say, say what you mean. Jesus goes deeper. And in verse 38, he says, you have heard that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, I tell you that you give good for evil. His law surpasses any other law taught. There's no one who has taught like the Lord Jesus Christ. Even, my friends, if you take Matthew 5 alone to prove the deity of Jesus Christ, I can assure you there is no teaching and no sacred writing in any of the earth that teaches like the Lord Jesus. There's no one with such standards like Him. That goes beyond. And we have here, Jesus says, you shall love your enemy. But what's the purpose here? Notice that with all the basic principles, he ends with, each section he ends with a purpose. In verse 48, there is always a therefore. As you study the first subsection, which is classified as the teachings, look for the therefore. For the therefore summarizes the end result of his principles. In verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, that subsection, chapter 5, is by itself. It's by itself. Do you know he introduces qualities of being like God in the first few verses of chapter 5? Verse 7, be merciful. Verse 8, pure in heart. Verse 9, peacemakers, sons of God. He introduces virtues. Some people divide chapter 5 into three further subsections. And he talk about virtues. And then he talk about commandments. And then he talk about morals. But basically, he introduces something that everybody needs to have, and he tells us how to get it, and he tells the end result is that you will be perfect like the Father. What Jesus is saying is important. Perfection begins in the heart. In the world, we use the word perfectionist. But we never use it to refer to perfectionists of thought. When we use the word perfectionist, we are talking about somebody who always keeps doing their work over and over again, revising it until it's absolutely perfect for other people to see. When we use the word and call a person a perfectionist, we are talking about an outward aspect. Jesus, when he used the word perfect, is talking about an inward sense. Perfect in thought, perfect in motive. And Jesus in chapter 5 gives the key to perfection. He says, perfect in motives, perfect in thoughts, perfect in words. Look at chapter 5 very carefully. In verse 22, he says, you cannot simply say you fool. In verse 22, do you see that? The last verse, there, last phrase. But whoever says you fool, see, loose lips. He's warning against loose lips. Then, in verse 28, he's warning against loose thoughts. Loose thoughts. Then, in verse 34, He's warning against loose words. Verse 39 and 43.